Welcome to Jungle Talk, your indoor plant podcast. I'm Tim Harper from Banks and Brown, and joining me each episode is Hayley Sutherland from Indoor Jungle. It is great to be back, Hayley.
It is good to be back, Tim. It's been a little while since we've done this.
Not that it hasn't been that long. And there's like a raccoon in the roof. A raccoon.
You can hear that. I don't know if our listeners can hear that.
So I noticed you're wearing, there's a certain theme going on today.
It must
for those
be.
Playing at home. Yeah. It's a bit of a terracotta sort of ochre almost coloured top.
Yes.
It's very nice. And you've been writing some notes in a terracotta coloured pencil.
Yep. And well, you didn't really join in the theme.
No, I didn't get dressed. So,
hang on, let's just stop there. Tim is dressed. He's just not got any terracotta coloured theme clothes.
No, but what I have on is some socks with watermelons on them, which we're going to link into the watermelon peperomia. And peperomia as a whole.
Yep.
And prior to that, we're going to talk about terracotta pots, specifically terracotta pots. We spoke a little while ago about cover pots, and it was brought to our attention we should maybe focus a bit on the actual terracotta pot and how it can be used a bit different to all of our nursery pots.
Yeah, terracotta is a hero in itself, so I think we do need to talk about that. But yes, it's a bit of a coincidence that I'm dressed in that colour and was choosing a pencil in that colour to make notes in, and you have watermelon socks, so
yes.
That's fitting.
The plant that got me into indoor plants.
Yeah.
So terracotta. In the past, we've always talked about nursery pots and decorative pots. Nursery pots being plastic ones, and keeping your plants in those, and then allowing you to water separately, and then put them back in. Where does terracotta come into it in terms of our indoor or house plants, and what are the sort of exceptions to our kind of rules that you can think of?
Well, there's always an exception to the rule, I guess. Because there'll always be people out there that want to do things their way, I suppose, and that work in those ways. But terracotta is a favourite amongst many houseplant owners, indoor plant owners, and I think particularly those who tend to collect maybe some of the rarer stuff or some of the harder to get stuff and the more tropical stuff. So terracotta is a fantastic pot to plant into directly in a lovely coarse chunky aroid sort of mix because it dries out so quickly. So a lot of those rarer plants that people do tend to pot into those have those real epiphytical type roots and root systems that you know, they're plants that climb trees or climb, you know, along the ground rather than sort of in the ground. So they need to dry out rather than staying wet. So terracotta is a perfect option for those plants. And I think a lot of people like it just because it's so uniform in
its neat.
In its aesthetics. It's neat. And it almost, I think it almost suits some plants. Like a lot of the, I've just started collecting and getting into some of the rarer anthuriums, big strappy leaf anthuriums and ones that have these big, quite magnificent kind of leaves, and I think they kind of, like, they can't really go in any other pot than a terracotta pot. It sort of suits that type of a plant. So I think that's where terracotta does have definitely has a place, and some people use it just for everything. That's the look they want, and it's very uniform, like you said, and so they use it for everything, and there's not a problem with that. It's just that you need to water more often if you're growing in terracotta. And I think that's probably why I have avoided it for so long. I'm slowly coming to it now, now that I'm sort of collecting a few different things. But I think I'm not someone that wanted to water my plants every week, especially when you've got hundreds of them. Doing a weekly water on hundreds of plants is time consuming. And so that I think that's why I've probably avoided it for so long, because keeping my plants in the plastic pots and soaking them and using that method allows me to water my plants a whole lot less. But I do enjoy the ones I have in terracotta. What are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, well, I would just point out, so we're in Adelaide here, because I know from the account, there are a couple of people overseas who do listen to this. So Adelaide, we have very hot, dry summer. In fact, dry most of the year. And very rarely does it feel tropical here, which is why it's such a varying year of temperatures that particularly in winter when it's cold and completely dry, even though it may be raining outside, we still have all our air cons and heaters on. It's so dry that this is the time of year when those fragile sort of plants which do not want to stay wet could benefit from perhaps being in a terracotta pot because it draws the moisture out. If we were up in Queensland, it would be a lot more stable all year round.
Yeah, it's a more consistent temperature, isn't it, in those more tropical climates.
Winter's almost more of a risk here than summer for your plants, your indoor plants.
Oh, absolutely. 100% more of a risk. And there's, I guess right now we're sort of talking about the pots, but do we want to talk about the plants that are better in these terracotta pots?
I mean, before you do, though, so the theory we're going to be talking about is the fact that terracotta naturally almost wicks the moisture back out of it, which is why if you have a pot in the garden that's terracotta and it's not sealed, that's why you'll often see watermarks coming through it over time.
Yeah, I made a huge mistake long before I was a horticulturalist that I put a dwarf citrus in maybe a 40 centimetre terracotta pot. It was a really silly idea. Dear, Tim's laughing at me here.
No, I'm trying to just...
I'm confessing to a really bad gardening mistake. And I regret doing it. I regret it every day in summer because I literally have to water it every day in summer in order to get that plant to A, grow, and B, produce 3 lemons.
Yep.
So, and you know, I probably could take it out and pot it into something else. I just haven't gotten around to it because I have so much other garden.
Yes.
But terracotta, yeah, outside. Terracotta's fantastic for things like cactus and those other plants, you know, succulents and things like that don't need to be kept constantly moist. But when you're doing outside planting, you're sort of tending to look for a pot that retains moisture, particularly here, like you said, in Adelaide, where our summers can be so hot and dry.
There's not really one pot solves all here, is there?
No, there's not a one pot solves all. It's not dinner.
No. Well, that's not that simple either. But what sort of plants come to mind that you could have inside in planted directly into a terracotta pot?
Well, I mean, you know, I have friends that would consider everything could go into terracotta, and I'm sure he's listening to this podcast as we speak, but...
that kind of highlights how, like, there are rules for everything, but there's always... Nothing's black and white, particularly with plants, and once you find what works for you, it might not work for someone else.
That's right, and you run with it. But going back to what is perhaps good in terracotta, and being that we're coming into winter or right in the middle of winter right now, there are some plants that could really use the terracotta pot during winter, and that is the family of the peperomia, particularly.
Yep.
I think having, you know, seen lots of people's fails with this genus of plant on social media and stuff... they can just cark it, like literally, it's seemingly almost overnight. And, you know, I'm a big one for saying that, like, you can't rot a plant in one watering. You know, overwatering tends to occur over a period of time when you've kept the plant too wet, you know, because you're watering all the time rather than letting it dry out. But I don't know, there are some little peperomias, particularly that...
like the
Caparata?
Yeah, the ripply looking.
The ripply ones. So they've the emerald ripples, and then you've got the burgundy coloured one, and there's one called Pink Lady, I think, and there's lots of different ripple peperomias, but they have such a fine root system that if they're water, you know, those ones that they often are sold in peat moss, and you know, they will obviously come in the plastic pots. You know, if that soil stays damp for a little bit too long, according to the peperomia, it's bye-bye peperomia, almost instantly.
And the stem is not forgiving. Like, it's almost like a little straw of moisture, and if it is too much, it'll just snap off at ground level.
And it's maybe necessarily not even the root system that got wet, but it's that soil around that stem, like you said, that's touching that stem as it enters the soil. Mm. If that stays too wet, then it just rots and they just fall apart. So... there's not a lot of coming back from them, and there's not a lot of rescuing them either.
So that's something you could look at transferring into a small terracotta.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's a really good choice for those types of peperomia.
So if you've got that in like a peat moss sort of setup, what would you suggest for transplanting? Would you go straight across to more of a potting mix style soil, or would you go all out across to a
straight into like peat moss straight into the terracotta?
Yeah, or would you go across and like make your own mix so that it's already in a like a more suitable mix and it's in the terracotta?
I think that is entirely dependent on how mature the plant's root system is. Because if you take it, say it's a peperomia in peat moss, if it happens to be a very juvenile one and doesn't have much of a root system, you can get rid of a lot of that peat moss. So yeah, I would remove some of that peat moss. It can stay too damp, and put it into a nice chunky aroid orca bark, you know, perlite, coir sort of potting mix. But you know, the terracotta is going to dry anything out. So you'd almost be safe no matter what choice of potting mix you used or potting medium
used.
You would be guaranteed to be fairly safe. You could almost just transplant the entire pot with the peat moss into that terracotta, and because of the terracotta's drying effects, it would probably flourish.
Yeah. So it seems with the peperomias then, what you're saying, and it makes sense to me, is that they have quite a short tolerance for being wet. So in the fact that some plants you can sit in a sink and find them 3 days later because you've forgotten about them and they're fine.
Yeah.
Whereas the peperomia has got a little clock ticking it, you know. So you've got it in your terracotta.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting it dry out as much as you can until it starts showing signs of, this is once it's planted into this terracotta pot, once it's starting to just sort of fall away a little bit.
Yep.
How are you then watering it? Are you just thinking just water through it?
Yeah, I would just pour water through it. I don't think there's a necessity to necessarily soak. However, you know, I had a watermelon peperomia the other day that was, I let go a little bit too long. and it is planted into a terracotta pot. And I actually did sit that in a tub of water so that it could have a great big long soak, because it really, really needed it. So I guess there's a little bit of, what's the word I'm looking for?
We can edit one in if you can't think of it. Yeah, the word is...
I don't know what the word is, but discretion, or, I don't know, you have...
I mean, every situation is different. You've got to... It comes back to kind of understanding
your plant
a bit more. Yeah,
that's right.
We don't need to edit a word in then.
Not really. And then, I mean, then you've got the other types of peperomia that are a bit more like a succulents. They've got that big round or oval-shaped fleshy leaves, and they actually look more like a succulent than... you know, a leafy house plant, so to speak. And those ones are a lot easier to care for. I've all of mine of those that I've got at home, these are the ones that are, you know, the obtusifolias and things like that. They're all in a premium potting mix in my house, and they do get a bottom soak, definitely. Water run through the top, and then they get to sit, because I do leave them until they start to flop and fall away and feel a bit soft. So that is one that I safely soak. The others, just through the top.
So your watermelon peperomia, where does he or she fit into the
schedule? So that one in the schedule. So my watermelon peperomia has always been an absolute beautiful plant, and I found it really easy. I left it in its peat moss for the first 18 months of having it, and I never found it tricky, and I did actually soak that plant.
Okay. So is that still in a nursery pot?
It's now in a bigger plastic clear pot, because I just recently potted it up into a big 8-inch pot, and that was a bit of a scary process. and I haven't photographed it since, because it's lost a few leaves from me touching, knocking, just some of the bottom leaves, the oldest leaves around the edge. So it's got lots of beautiful new growth coming up through the top, and it just needs to settle into its new pot. And I planted it into a nice sort of coarse, airy mix. And I'm thinking now, why didn't I put it in terracotta?
Well, it's hindsight.
I can. I know it's hindsight.
Why didn't I buy a house when I was 18, you know?
So I'm just watching that one not recover, because nothing really went wrong with it, but it was literally about 2 weeks ago that I did it, and I've just been watching with bated breath to make sure it doesn't cark it completely on me, because it was a very tricky process, because it was such a big plant.
It's interesting you say about knocking it. That's probably an underrated thing that can happen to those sorts of plants, is that they can not recover from just being bumped a little bit. Like, they're very top heavy.
yeah,
in your leaves. Amazing plant though.
They're a cool plant, but they bruise easy, and they do, you know, they can show those signs of the brown marks on the backs of the leaves, which I think is a bit of a moisture holding problem, perhaps. I'm not going to call it oedema because I don't necessarily think it's that, but yeah, they can brown up a little bit.
Is that that's a Dr. Google thing, isn't it?
Oedema is where a plant has been watered too much. It's taken up that much water, and it's the sort of the cells are bursting with it's water.
Like bloated.
Yeah, a bit bloated and whatnot. But yeah.
That seems to be a bit of a, you know, a lot of people like to diagnose things without really looking at them. That yeah. seems to be a word that gets thrown around a bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which happens when, you know, the society that we live in. But
I thought you were going to say it gets thrown around with the ficus lirata thing and the red freckles, and that does my head in.
Oh, yeah,
that
the red freckles.
Not
yep.
oedema.
No.
100% not. There's, yeah, absolutely no science behind that at all. But let's not talk about that right now because that gets my goat up.
So what do you think, if someone doesn't have a peperomia and was thinking about it, what's a good one to maybe... Or what part of the peperomia family do you think might be a good one?
Well, I think the obtusifolias or the chunky leaf ones
yep.
are definitely something easy to start with. But saying that, you've got, your children have got the caparettas and they're
yeah,
easy
so
for them.
So. I suspect, so they're in a position that gets... It actually gets a little bit of morning sun for probably, it's a funny like aspect, probably from April right through to maybe November before the sun's too high in the sky. Mm-hmm. It's getting maybe an hour of sun.
Yeah.
Sometimes through a curtain, sometimes direct, and it is loving life.
Yeah.
And I think that's because they dry right out and... And I also think when I got those ones, they were probably a little bit more established than
mm-hmm.
some that are around every now and then that are a little under-established. Mm. So maybe it's just that they're one of those plants also that just needs to get its
roots established.
And that might
be a
year
or... I think
that's
a good point, a fair point to make.
Yeah.
Which I brought up at a workshop the other day, actually, and said if, you know, you can afford that extra $10 or $20, perhaps, instead of buying the baby size one, by the next size up if you can, because then it is going to have a more established root system and you're more likely to succeed with something that's a bit tricky
yeah.
if it's got a little bit bigger root system.
I totally agree. If you had, if you took 100 plants in 130mm pots and 100 of the same plants in 200mm pots and suitably bigger, I would almost put money on the fact you will lose more of the small ones
yep.
than you would the big ones, just because they are
yeah.
When they're little, when they're not, it's like humans with an, you've got to develop an immune system and you've got to, you know, as you grow up and
yeah.
you're not a baby anymore, plants are the same. And
it's like trying to put a toddler into reception at school. It's not really quite ready
yeah.
for that environment.
It's a lot cheaper than, actually I shouldn't say that. So, cool. So peperomia. Mm. So the other thing I have mucked around a little bit with, and I think this is what probably a failure, and you learn more from your failures than you do from your successes. So I had some Monstera adansonii, got a bit leggy, so I took some cuttings, put them in water, grew some little fine roots.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I did, I actually, whilst I was potting up all of my alocasias in your special mix
mm-hmm.
that you taught me, which we'll talk about later
yep.
in the future, I potted up a couple of little... of them into that mix in little terracotta pots because they were there.
Yep.
And then I sat them on the edge of the bath with every intention that I could water them if they needed it, but knowing that they would then draw the moisture out.
Yeah.
But, you know, I sort of forgot about them. And
did you never water them at
no,
all?
No, I watered them a little bit and then I forgot about them for some time because
okay.
they were so teeny tiny.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I look, that's how you learn.
Wow, I'm glad I don't get forgotten about because I'm teeny tiny.
Mm. Mm. And terracotta.
So, touching on just what you just said, I do plant up my baby leaf propagations of my watermelon peperomias, which I've done lots of over the last 12 to 18 months. I don't really know why. It was experimenting, I guess. You know, if I'm going to run propagation workshops, I thought I'd better actually put it into practice.
You're going to get the mileage on the clock.
Yeah. And I have found that those little itty-bitty teeny-tiny terracotta pots are perfect for transferring the leaf propagation babies into, just in a priming potting mix with perlite. A, because they've got such a tiny root system and it's so fine that there's not really any chance of overwatering that root system in that teeny tiny little pot. So yeah, they need a little bit more water. Obviously they're getting, you know, need water every sort of 3 to 4 days, perhaps, in that terracotta pot, maybe, you know, once or twice a week, keeping them in a nice bright spot as they're trying to establish. That's a better situation than putting them into a big plastic pot, you know, thinking that you can plant this teeny tiny baby into a 5 or 6 inch, you know, plastic pot with premium potting mix, and that's staying just way too wet around that root system. So those little terracotta pots, the little baby ones.
If you can get them, they're great.
Perfect for those. Yeah, they are a little bit hard to come by.
Everything just became hard to come by this last 12 months. But, yeah, it's interesting because there's like, when you think about potting up, like I'm looking at cacti at the moment out the window, or your traditional landscaping type plants, like there's so much more room for art. If you've got quite a bigger pot, you can pot it up into that because the way you're watering and that. When you come into up potting, is there a proper name for that? Potting up into a larger pot?
Generic. You just gave it one. Up potting, because that really rolls off the tongue super nice.
Up pot, but there's two P's in it. And the temptation is to just put it into the one.
Chuck it in a big pot.
But if it's, like you say, if it's got roots the size of your little fingernail.
Yeah, it's scary.
It's very easy to overwater it and keep it wet, but also it's very easy to water it and the water never even gets to the middle. Like it just, yeah.
I think we're just sort of looking at Tim's cactus out the window here. How good is like a trio of terracotta pots, different sizes, slightly different shapes? You know, the 1, 2, 3 kind of set in the, you know, corner of a courtyard or next to a front door. It's been done for
hundreds of years and it's still great. I know,
but it still looks so good. Terracotta's great in heaps of different situations. And, it, you know, you see someone's, you know, shelf inside or something. You know, they're a real crazy plant person and they have just terracotta on that shelf. Like, it's impressive. It does look good. It does. There's definitely a place for it.
Do you ever get decorative pot burnout, where you go through a phase of, you see one type of amazing pot and then you love that and then something else comes in and you're blown away, and then you kind of get a little bit like decorative pot drunk.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I just want plain.
Yeah.
And there's terracotta
waiting. That's right. Or white.
Yeah, just white. White.
I've gone through a white phase in my bedroom, but
that can look really nice too.
It does. It's very crisp.
Having all.
Yep.
Why is white? This is,
I don't know.
Such an American thing. It shows white Christmas. Plants
a white Christmas.
Well, it comes from snow, doesn't it?
Yeah. How did we get onto?
We got off topic.
Right. Totally.
We went back to terracotta.
Yeah, back to terracotta.
Back to terracotta.
Yeah, no, I do get cover pot burnout, I guess you could say, where I love one thing, and you know, there's pots that I absolutely fell in love with like 2 years ago, and I look at them now and I'm like, I don't even know how I liked you. I've grown out of you.
They like, have a power of like,
yeah, they draw you in, they suck you in, and then they
spit you out. So that's a good segue, sucking in moisture and spitting it back out again. So something you don't want to do to your terracotta pot, if you're using it to dry your plant out, is to seal it. Because if you're going to use a terracotta pot in the garden, for example, you generally would seal it, and you can buy paint-on products or spray-on products, and the whole point of those products is to create a seal on the inside so that moisture doesn't get drawn through and leave sort of marks around the edge.
Yep.
Unless I'm completely misguided, no, that's my understanding of it.
I do think that's
it. And also, if you were going to paint a terracotta pot, for example, you'd need to do that so that moisture doesn't come through and ruin it. That's what you're supposed to do with them to achieve the natural ability of the terracotta to draw the moisture out. You don't want to seal them.
No, you don't. If you're using a terracotta pot in order to, you know, keep a plant on the drier side, which is essential for some plants, then you certainly don't want to seal them, because then you might as well just keep your plant in plastic.
Plants are great, aren't they?
I'm not going to argue with you there. They kind of just change your life sometimes, don't they? I've known so many people that have come into plants in a therapeutic way that's been a real therapy for them over the last few years, or that they didn't, you know, they just needed something in their life because of whatever was happening, and they found plants and it's completely changed their life. And I just think, how amazing is that, that nature...
Well, I think it's very similar to what people will say about particularly dogs.
Hmm.
Not be a dog person at all, and then something happens in your life, or you just hear so many stories of at that time a dog came along and it is interesting with plants because they are so much more passive than a pet, but they can still be really powerful.
Yeah.
And I also think back to the term therapy, like therapeutic gardens or plant therapy. When I was younger, if I'd heard that, I would have just thought it meant like, you know, like wiping rosemary all over your body or something. Yeah, or sleeping with
lavender under your pillow.
Yeah. But the...
I think the subconscious art of gardening
therapeutic. Yeah, that's right.
Is therapeutic.
Yeah. I don't mind... I'm at my calmest when I... This might make me sound like a complete loser, but I actually don't care what people think of me anyway. But I get really relaxed... On a Sunday afternoon, if it's particularly in winter, because that's when we have sour sobs, so I find a milk crate and I go out in the front garden and I just sit on the milk crate and I pull sour sobs and just sort of tidy up the garden a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I forget the name. There's a name for the chemical or the hormone that's involved when you work with soil.
Mm-hmm.
No idea. I can't remember what that's called, but there's definitely something in it. I mean... I could never, for many reasons other than trying to be a bit more environmentally friendly, I could never spray weeds ever again in my life at my house.
No, I would rather... Yeah, we don't do a lot of spraying at all. But I'm a little bit the opposite of you. It would have to be a really warm, sunny winter's day for me to do that. I don't mind pulling weeds. Andy's much better at it than me. He's the weed puller at home. But I just being cold and wet. So if those weeds were a little bit wet,
so you're like a human houseplant being cold and wet in winter.
Yeah, I just
you'd just rot.
I just find it really difficult to go out there if it's wet and you're getting your shoes wet and your hands wet and a bit of muddy.
I'm not talking sitting in the rain. I am talking the sun's nice coming day. Through.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're saying. I find that. Time of the year hard. My time of the year is every other season.
Okay.
Other than winter.
Well, I think maybe that's what I take from winter in the garden.
Mm.
When you do get a sunny winter's afternoon, which I'm looking at the moment. Why did we record this now? I should be out pulling weeds.
I don't know. I get the same, you know, buzz like you're talking about on a, you know, I get home from work and I can take my shoes off and go stand in like the dichondra or the freshly cut grass. Like...
You sound like a cat. Prune. I can go and chew on some grass and then vomit it back up again.
But like, and garden at the same time. So I, you know, I wander around and I prune this and I prune that, or I move something, or I take a, you know, snap the head off a echevera and I replant it somewhere else, like, and potter like that, in a, you know, a summer's afternoon for me, gives me that good. Same buzz.
I know we've got quite off topic here, but we don't usually take time to talk about the actual great like outcomes you can get just a little bit of gardening, whether it's indoor or outdoor. It's just so good, and it's the complete opposite of the world that we're living in of technology, and it's such a great way to just kind of...
I think it was how we were meant to be, though.
I don't know, weren't we meant to have social... Like, in many, many... hundreds and thousands of years ago, I'm sure they had, you know, social media and they didn't talk to each other. And that's why if you look at the like the evolution of man, way back, it was hunched over like this.
Because he was on... smelling the daisies?
No, he or she was on social media complaining about something. Like complaining about the cave or the... Anyway. Wow, we've really...
We did get off topic, but that was a good combo.
So, terracotta... I'm interested to do a few more experiments with a few different plants.
Yeah, me too.
If it's cold and wet outside, then you can come inside and do that. And peperomias, diverse family of plants. with some really good ones and some tricky ones.
Mm. But a great collector's genus, so if you want to get into something, there's so many different colours and patterns and leaf shapes.
Yep.
It's a fantastic family of plants, for sure.
I should go back to the real world for a minute and maybe wrap this up.
Yep.
And I promise we're not medicated or on some sort of, like, therapeutic plant that we found in the garden or anything, because we're just... It's just a nice winter's afternoon.
It is, having a nice gin and tonic. You can go back out to your sousobs.
All right. And I will speak to you again shortly on the next episode.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
Jungle Talk is proudly produced by Space Capsule Garden Company. You can check out Haiti at The Indoor Jungle or myself at Space Capsule Garden Co. You can also check out more information at Banks and Brown. A big thanks goes to Logan Sutherland for his work on the drums for our theme song.